reports of a possible wave of layoffs at the Ford Motor Company. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Several published reports today suggest that Ford could lay off about 10% of its workforce worldwide. The Wall Street Journal and now Bloomberg suggests this would be mostly salaried workers. The move would be an attempt to energize Ford's slumping stock price. BBC business reporter Theo Leggett follows the global car industry. Morning, Theo.
Good morning, David.
What is with Ford these days?
Well, investors aren't that happy with the way the company's being run, David. Since Mark Fields took over as chief executive back in 2014, its share price has really been on a pretty steady downward slide. You shouldn't forget that his predecessor, Alan Mulally, was a very highly rated executive, the man who got Ford through the financial crisis without a government bailout. So when he was appointed, expectations were very high. But it seems Mr. Fields hasn't yet shown the vision they expect, while earnings, certainly of late, have been pretty disappointing, despite very strong sales. And one of the issues that the company's facing, I think, is that it's trying to invest a lot of money in the future. So it's developing electric vehicles, it's developing driverless cars, while it's trying to keep a lid on today's costs. And that's very tricky because research and development is very expensive.
And this is where the leadership issue comes in, because if you're trying to persuade investors, look, wait, we're making investments in the future, that requires fancy footwork on the part of the top brass at the company.
Absolutely. It's saying you're getting a little bit less jam today in exchange for a lot more jam tomorrow. But that kind of thing does require vision, and it requires the executives to show that they've got that vision. And I think there's a little bit of cynicism among investors at the moment that Mark Fields isn't quite showing that kind of flair at the moment.
And if these reports are borne out, we could see this balanced on the backs of some current Ford employees.
Well, yes. I mean, Ford has a lot of employees, don't forget. It's got around 200,000 around the world, half of them in North America. But it also has a substantial operation in Europe. It's also got an operation in Asia Pacific as well. So it may well have to reduce that headcount a little bit, at least.
BBC business reporter Theo Leggett watches the world auto industry quite closely. Theo, thank you.
It's a pleasure, David.
We're also following new rules from the Trump administration to deny funding to any foreign non-governmental organization that, quote, promotes abortion as a method of family planning. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra is here with me live. Marielle, what's this policy about?
It expands on a rule that's been around for a long time. In the 80s, President Reagan blocked federal funding for charities that perform or promote abortions. Democratic presidents have gotten rid of that rule. Republican presidents have reinstated it. President Trump brought it back in January, and his administration is expanding it to include more sources of funding. Now, foreign NGOs that provide care for not just family planning, but also HIV and AIDS, child health, malaria, and other things can't get U.S. funding if they promote or perform abortions. The policy could apply to almost $9 billion in international health funding. During its last incarnation, it only applied to about $600 million.
All right. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra, thank you very much. Let's do the live numbers. The 100-share index in London, a.k.a. the FTSE, is up 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed at this point. The Dow future down just a tad. The Dow future up 17 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is down slightly at 2.34%. The big TV networks and some cable channels make their big pitches to advertisers this week, trying to persuade them to spend big on their broadcasts. These are called the upfronts. ESPN will take the stage in New York this morning. That sports network has been squeezed by the trend away from cable and satellite TV in favor of watching on the internet. But ESPN today is selling a new audience to advertisers, one it's been trying to figure out how to count for decades. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
You, your friends, a pint at the bar with the big game on overhead. ESPN, along with ratings agency Nielsen, think they've finally figured out how to quantify who's watching television out in the world.
We first started working on out-of-home measurement, believe it or not, with Nielsen 20 years ago, back in 1997.
Artie Bulgren helps head up audience research at ESPN. He says they know millions of people are watching live TV out of their home each day, in bars, restaurants, hotels, gyms, airports.
And for ESPN, that's been big. I mean, you know, if you've been in a commercial establishment, chances are, ESPN is on.
But up till now, just how big that out-of-home audience is has been tough to say. Sarah Erickson is with Nielsen.
And with this new service, we're now adding this audience into our traditional TV ratings to give our clients a combined number.
The new count uses what's called a portable people meter, a cell phone-sized device that records what the people who carry it are exposed to. It uses audio codes embedded into all television programming, codes the people meter can pick up.
If you're watching TV, they're actually present, but you can't hear them, but the Nielsen meter can hear them.
She says the new out-of-home numbers are showing some significant bumps in total audience for channels, like cable news shows. Sports programming has about a 9% lift in viewership. It's a boost ESPN needs in the world of cord cutters and cord nevers. Marty Conway is a sports marketing professor at Georgetown University.
So the precipitous decline in the total amount of audience really has ignited, I think, ESPN and a couple of other live sport programmers to get behind this effort.
Data, he says, is becoming increasingly important as broadcasters look to make their case to advertisers. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Jake Gorski. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.